Hello and welcome to another Sustainable Wine Podcast with me, Hannah Fulmari. For today's Sustainable Wine Roundtable member interview, I'm joined by Harriet Kinnenmuth and George Kyle from CNC Group, where Harriet is the Wine Trading Director and George the Head of ESG. So welcome to you both. It's great to have you on the podcast. Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you, Hannah. Wonderful to be here.
CNC Group is a multinational drinks manufacturing, marketing, and distribution company. And today we're going to be talking about the group's approach to ethical and sustainable procurement. But before we get into that, George, perhaps you could start by giving us a quick introduction to the company overall.
We use the reference that CNC is probably the largest alcohol brand and distribution business that people don't know about. Our fame comes from our consumer brands, Tennent's Lager in Scotland and Bulmers in Ireland, leading in their respective categories. We have a range of craft beers, including Menabrea, Heavily and Oxer Pig. And for the trade in general, in our distribution business, which is the leading distribution business in the UK and Ireland, people will recognise us more via our Bibendum, Matthew Clark, Tennent's and Bulmers fascias. We have 29 sites or thereabouts across the UK and Ireland. We're headquartered in Dublin and we're listed on the UK Stock Exchange. We can trace our history in the Tennent's business back to 1556 and the Ireland business back to the early 30s. We've been around for a long time and we talk about being a sustainable business. The length of time that we've been around is evidence of our approach to sustainability overall.
And Harriet, tell us a bit more about CNC's wine division.
George sort of touched on two of our roots market brands, Bibendum and Matthew Clark. But if I sort of take a step back, approximately 58 million bottles of wine goes through our network on an average year across our GB and Ireland markets. And we also sell, on top of that, a further 35 million bottles into the off-trade. But unlike with our own cider and beer brands, with wine, our model is really focusing on agency relationships and partnerships, which means we'll obviously be shipping wine from all over the globe into our network and then out to our customers. So our total customer universe means that we need a breadth of range that reaches every part of the market and every type of consumer. Everything from really great entry point wines to the rarest and finest wines in the world and everything in between. So in turn, that equates to having approximately 400 wine suppliers together form the wine portfolios of our six route to market brand propositions, which are Bibendum in the on-trade, Matthew Clark also in the on-trade, Tennent's Direct up in Scotland for the on-trade, Walker and Woodhouse independent retail, Bibendum off-trade in the UK market and Bibendum Ireland, obviously in Ireland. Each of those propositions has a unique portfolio, sales team and proposition in market, all powered by the sort of strength and the back engine of CNC.
Rather big.
And a third of all wines sold in the on-trade are through CNC.
The scale of operation here is huge. So too are the sustainability challenges, but also opportunities. Well, let's start with the big picture. What does sustainability mean to the company? George, perhaps you could give us a quick overview to the group's central sustainability strategy.
We touched upon our heritage, and as a business, we've grown by acquisition. And I think it's fair to say that we operate in a very decentralized model, going back maybe 3-4 years ago. There was a recognition across the business, to Harriet's point around the engine that powers our brands, that we could deliver far greater efficiencies from a one CNC approach to support the brands themselves. Like everybody else, we're on a journey. Sustainability is embedded into our strategy. In terms of our pillars to achieve our strategy, we talk about our brand strength, and we've touched upon some of our brands. We talk about our system strength, and that's our logistics, insight, people, range, distribution, marketing capability. But the third strand is sustainability itself. It's an ambition, is that it's not seen as a service function or a nice to do, but fundamentally it becomes embedded in everything that we do. We've been working on that for the last 3 years, and we attempt to bring as much rigor and credibility and authenticity to our approach as we possibly can, to ensure that we're doing the right things. The great experience to date is that everybody we work with and a value chain is on the same journey. The sharing of knowledge and expertise absolutely helps us in the efforts that we have to undertake.
And so let's talk a bit about climate first. What are the group's climate goals? What kind of targets have you set here?
So we've been reporting via CDP going back to 2010. Earlier this year, our targets were approved by the Science Based Targets Initiative. And again, that's the evidence of us trying to take a rigorous approach. For Scope 1 and 2, we've set annual targets for 2030 and for 2050. We've stated publicly that by 2030, we will reduce Scope 1 and 2 by 35%. And in the same time period, we'll have reduced Scope 3 by 25%, all on a flight path to make us carbon neutral by 2050 at the latest.
I'm curious, I mean, logistics is a big part of the business, so the emissions from distribution and transportation must play a big role in both Scope 1 and 3 emissions. Top line, how are you tackling these?
From a Scope 1 perspective, we have continuous improvement measures, load efficiency, telemetry, load planning. We restructured our distribution network going back 2 or 3 years ago, which had a significant bearing in terms of our fuel consumption and the delivery efficiency. We are investigating new technologies and fuel. We have an extensive program around hydrogenated vegetable oil. We have trialled electric vehicles across the depots, and we're extending that program early into 2024. We keep a very close eye on technology developments in terms of alternative fuel drives to support our logistics capability. And again, just playing to the system strength piece, we make it a function. And again, combining our sustainability ambitions with our commercial ambitions, given our brand strength, given our system strength, we take an offer to market to say we can supply any outlet with any product. And by doing so, we can not only reduce our emissions and deliveries, but we can reduce the outlet's emissions and deliveries, which reduces staff, which reduces the requirement for paperwork. It reduces the numbers of point of contact. So it's bringing that to life and making that real and equipping our account handlers with that story to be able to articulate that to customers and make that real for customers would be a major step in terms of those distribution efficiencies.
And on Scope 3 emissions, you mentioned that the goal is to reduce these by 25% by 2030. So as you mentioned, of course, that's bringing the whole value chain along on this journey. How are you engaging with suppliers and customers to support them, firstly, to set science-based targets themselves, and then beyond target setting to actually help with the emissions reductions?
As part of our science-based targets commitment, we have signed up to an engagement approach annually. So this is over the last couple of years, we've identified those customers and suppliers that make up 67% of our Scope 3 emissions. And working with the CDP Supplier Engagement Programme, we target those outlets and partners to report via CDP and sign up to science-based targets. We've said that we will look to meet that target by the end of 2026. I think as of this year, we were 60% through that sign-up. Don't get me wrong, Hannah, it's a constant exercise. Many of our peers and the larger businesses, you know, this is business as usual. But for others, there's an education program. And as well as educating our partners, we have to educate and equip colleagues to be able to go in and advocate and communicate why we're taking this approach and why there's mutual benefit in following that process.
And Harriet, from a wine buying perspective, how does this all translate into practice for you and your team? Can you perhaps share some examples with us?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think the first thing to point out is that we can't hold our suppliers to account unless we ourselves can demonstrate what we're signing up to. So it is very much a journey. Going back to what George said, we are focusing on a number of our bigger suppliers, and that includes wine in terms of capturing carbon and working really closely with them. What I would say is that that's probably only about 10 or 15 wine suppliers. And as I mentioned earlier, there are 400. There are so many examples of what our suppliers are up to, sometimes going over and above the sort of targets we're even setting ourselves. At the moment, from a sustainability point of view, it's really making sure we capture those, celebrate them, transmit them, learn from them, and make sure we're transmitting those messages as far and wide as we can. And as the journey evolves, we'll continue to look to ways to find that common messaging and all go on that journey together. Just to give you some examples of what some of the smaller producers are doing, many are looking how to capture more carbon in their soils, to sometimes referred to as regenerative wine growing. Lafarge, one of our producers in South France, working with a university, Institut Abreu-Montpellier, and they're evaluating the impact of biophore in their soil, which is a type of compost that captures carbon. In South Africa, Journey's End are planting spekboom trees, which are known to capture carbon. We've got Journey's End also making wines out of paperboard, which obviously dramatically reduces the weight and increases the recyclability. There's the troves of biodynamic producers as well. So that's just a few examples of what some of the smaller wineries are doing. And then you've got larger ones who are carbon neutral, and you know, they sign up to their own governing bodies, sustainable governing bodies. So we obviously celebrate those as well. Honestly, there's a load of great stuff going on. Our journey now is to work with them to find that common language and make sure that we're all learning from each other.
Climate often does take center stage, and of course, it is such a crucial area, but there is the risk of falling into the carbon tunnel vision trap. So what does a holistic approach to procurement look like at CNC?
It's a great point. I think we have to catch ourselves sometimes with the amount of discussion around the environment and climate itself. In terms of where we are on the journey, we created an ethical, sustainable procurement steer co, representing all the relevant functions across the business. In terms of the ethical considerations, we're pretty much at foundation level. We're asking all our suppliers to sign up to our code of conduct and our modern slavery policy. A year into that exercise, we're at something like 93-95% sign up. The majority we don't have sign up is we're having a conversation between our businesses because our partners have suggested that their code of conduct is even more stringent than the one that we're asking them to sign up to. It's a case of potentially adopting and embracing what our partners are doing at the same time. Signing up to the policy is obviously only one stage. We have to follow up with that. And we do operate and work with SEDEX from within the Bibendum business. And we're looking at a proposal with SEDEX across an entire supply chain. At the same time, as part of the journey that we're on around sustainable procurement, the first stage was developing a roadmap that told us what we should be doing. And we're now moving into this phase of how do we achieve that? And one of the critical elements in our ability to achieve that is how do we train our relationship managers to be able to knowledgeably talk about the standards and the process and the policies and the requirements that we have. And there'll be an element of educating both parties in terms of what measures have been taken and what measures we need to take.
Harriet, perhaps again, you can jump in to give us how all of this translates in practice for you. How do you select and work with producers? Where do you see the biggest challenges?
As George said, we're on that journey and we've had some training already with parts of my team. Sustainability and ethics, they do underpin all of our purchasing and ranging decisions. I've just come out of a range review meeting to come here and we were discussing this very topic. When we're selecting our wine portfolio, we of course look at the trends, the consumer behaviours, the gaps, the innovation, and then it's about ensuring we have that quality assurance, those commitments to sustainability at the outset. So they do sign the modern slavery, they do an ESG questionnaire. And on top of that, we'll be looking at bottle weights. We'll be looking at bulk sourcing. In terms of the biggest challenge, I really think it's this common language, because there's just so many ways of cutting it and it can be really discombobulating and confusing. I think from a wine perspective, one of the challenges I've seen is around conflict as well. And I can give you quite a good example. We had an off-trade customer, so a supermarket, asking us to quote for some wine. They wanted a better price, but they really wanted sustainable credentials. So they wanted us to quote in bulk, so shipping it over in flexi tanks rather than in glass bottle. So we quoted that and it was a better price. But what we did say is that by doing that, you're going to lose 20 jobs because of the work in the winery. So actually there's an ethical rationale to ship in bottle. And it's even though it's more expensive, they went with shipping over in bottle. So I think that is going to be, I think, an increasing challenge about where that conflict lies and what decisions are made there and how we measure it, essentially. But I think we're on a great journey.
How are you engaging with customers and educating about everything we've just talked about the importance of sustainable and ethical wine choices and what those even look like?
From my side, it's interesting. It depends on the type of customer. And a lot of customers, which is great to see, it's a huge part of their decision making, and you'll see that more, as you would expect, with the larger customers, some of the national businesses. So we work together to shine a light on what we're doing as a business, but also what our suppliers are doing from a wine perspective, but also in other categories as well. On the smaller scale customer, it's the storytelling. And I think George mentioned that earlier. It's ploughing by horse. It's biodynamic winemaking in terms of wine. So it's getting those messages across. I think, again, we're on a journey. Some customers, it holds a lot of value. Others, it doesn't. But we want to drive that message and really push that agenda and get it onto people's front of mind, even if it isn't already.
Just to build on that point, Hannah, probably from my perspective, I'm more focused on the governance and the rigour and the reporting and the data and the processes. But to Harriet's point, that the stories are absolutely critical. And if we have confirmation, and it's the greenwashing consideration by doing the due diligence and working with our partners, unearthing those stories and telling those stories, not just as a marketing tool and helping as part of the selling, but that education piece and inspiring others is such a powerful tool that we really can't lose sight of.
George, Harriet, thank you both so much for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Thank you.
To our listeners, if you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe to Sustainable Wines podcast channel and sign up on www.sustainablewine.co.uk to receive our newsletter and regular updates. And of course, if you're interested in getting involved in the SWR, please do just get in touch.